Well, hello everybody and welcome to this very important call. In fact, this is a call that I get so many questions on. People are so concerned about their credit in this recessionary marketplace we're in today. I thought it would be a good idea to make sure that we had a credit expert on the phone and to explode some myths and answer some questions and probably give us just a general idea of what it takes to get one's credit cleaned up, because most people don't even know that you can do things like this. My friend Paul Ritter, who's going to answer all these questions for me today, has been at this for about 15 years now, and it's his life, it's his profession, and it's his passion. And he comes to us with extreme high recommendations from folks that I have a great respect for, that he's been working with for quite a while now and helping their buyers clean up the credit. So if you are buying houses yourself with the intent of selling them to qualified buyers or even non-qualified that you'd like to get to be qualified, it's going to be an important call. Or if you happen to have credit issues of your own, it's going to be an important call. So stay tuned, because the man we have on the telephone right now is certainly qualified to answer these questions for you. So how are you, Paul?
Terrific, Ron. Thank you for having me on. And looking forward to talking with you and your audience and enlightening them in the world of credit restoration.
All right. Well, let's start with a little bit about your background and why we should listen to anything you say, and then I'm going to get right into my questions, if you could.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I have is a passion for my work. And I love to be able to help people, and I've been in this business for quite some time. I actually got in about 15 years ago, and I've had the opportunity and the blessing to be able to help many, many thousands of people improve their credit profile. And each time that we were able to have success, boy, I share in the success with them.
Well, Paul, I tell you, before we go any further, I want to get the big elephant in the room out of the way. Is credit repair legal?
Well, absolutely, it is legal. And as a matter of fact, Ron, there is a law that's written for the consumer that the credit bureaus must adhere to. So if Congress took the time to write the guidelines and laws, essentially to have make certain that we have accurate and fair information on our credit report, then yes, it is legal.
So to have someone like you go to work to help clean up my credit, I'm not violating any laws, I'm not doing anything illegal, immoral, or unethical, I'm not taking advantage of anybody, and I don't have anything to be ashamed of by putting you on my team. Is that about the size of it?
Yes, absolutely. Although there are some unscrupulous companies out there that work under the auspice of a credit repair company that will advise you to lie and say things that are obviously untrue. And so be wary of who you deal with.
I think there's unscrupulous companies out there that will do just about anything and everything that of any service there is. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, speaking of that then, there's debt consolidation and then there's credit restoration. Do you have anything to do with debt consolidation?
No, I don't. That is not my forte. However, I will help people if they would like to consolidate a debt or two down to an amount less than what they owe whenever they're done with my program so that they can have it removed from the credit profile. But there's a large distinction between credit restoration and debt consolidation. And here's the key difference. With a debt consolidation program, in other words, that's what you're getting into, and it's typically flagged by a company that has something to do with consumer credit counseling service or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. What they're wanting you to do is they are going to negotiate debt down on your behalf, and you're going to pay them some money to do that for you, and then obviously to field phone calls and such. Now, as they perform their service, what happens is the creditors accept less of a payment, but the credit report suffers. They're told to basically pick off one creditor at a time, if you will, if there's multiple creditors. Mm-hmm. And they're going to take some money from you, and they're going to put it in an escrow account and save up that money. And then when they have enough money that the company will accept that amount of funds, then they pick off that creditor, and they pay that creditor in full. And sometimes there are payment arrangement programs that they will provide for you as well. But in either event, your credit report suffers. And, you know, in the event that they're making the monthly payments on it, they're basically updating the date of last activity on a collection account, which lowers your score. In the event that they pay debts off what happens is as they pay these debts off, it now shows as a paid collection, which still has updated the date of last activity. In addition to that, it now is, you know, it's a zero balance, and most people think that that has helped them out. The reality is that date of last activity trumps or supersedes the amount that's on there, and your score actually drops.
So let me see if I can translate that. I think I got it. What you're saying is I could have a debt that's kind of dormant on my credit report. My hit has already been taken on it, and now I go pay it off, and now I'm starting all over again, and so it just reactivates it and cuts my score more. Is that about what you said?
Yeah, in addition to that, once you reactivate it, they now can sue you because there's something called a statute of limitations, and every state's different. In Pennsylvania, it's 4 years. In Carolina, it's 4 years, and I think in Florida, it's 3 years. But in any event, the statute of limitations basically says that the creditor can sue you for those 3 or 4 years, and during that time, you know, if you pay that item even after the 3 or 4 years, now you've updated the date or the time that they can sue you. So really, there are two dates of interest here.
Mm-hmm.
One is how long the statute of limitation extends, 3 or 4 years. And the other is how long can a report on the credit report, which is 7 years from the date of last activity, and that's a very key date.
So really what we're saying is we actually could be doing ourselves harm by paying off debts, and with misguided advice, it really does us more harm than good because it creates credit report score droppage more than increasing it. Good, we're consolidating our debts. Good, we are getting them paid, but bad if our intent is to try to increase our score for some immediate usage in the current or not too distant future. Is that about it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's one more key element, too. Did you know that, Ron, that if you have, like, say, for example, a $5,000 debt and you pay it off for $1,000, that at the end of the year, they can issue you a 1099 for the difference of the two, what you owe them and what you paid.
Yeah. You got the money. Therefore, they want you to pay taxes on all of it.
Yeah, that's the way they view it. Yeah, they view it that you owe the money, and now you've benefited from that to the tune of $4,000. It doesn't matter that, three of those $4,000 was over the limit fees and penalties and interest and so on.
Right.
That's the way they look at it.
All right, well, Paul, can you give me an example of an item that that would come off of a credit report that the audience probably can relate to, not even aware that it's a disputable item? Tell me what we can get off a credit report and tell me what we can't.
Well, typically when people look at their credit report, they look at it and they say, well, gee, this is accurate, and so on. But in reality, we read between the lines. There are 11 different elements with each line item that we're looking at. And here's some common things. If the common consumer were to look at his credit report, would think, oh, gee, this is accurate, but in reality, it's not. A 60-day late without a 30-day late. It mathematically can't occur that way. In order for you to be 60 days late, you must be 30 days late prior
makes sense,
to being 60
makes sense,
days late.
Makes sense to me, yeah. Okay.
I see it all the time. Student loans are notorious for this, especially if you've had them, you know, either refinanced or consolidated into one or deferred. They will invariably hit you with a 60-day late without a 30-day late preceding it. So that's a check mark for red flag. When you get your copy credit report, definitely look for that if you have student loans. Date of last activity is a real big one, too. Think about it this way. Remember, as I mentioned, they can only report things that are negative for 7 years. If there's nothing in the date of last activity field, and this occurs a lot whenever a creditor transfers the servicing rights of the account over to a collection company. If this happens and the original creditor does not tell them when the date that this account was last active, in other words, when you made your last payment or last time that you were actually caught up with the account, if they don't know that date, then they don't know when 7 years from that date is. And not knowing what 7 years from that date is puts it in an area where if they can't prove that to me, then it must be removed from the credit profile.
All right, well, back to the question. What can I get off and what can't I get off?
Well, what we're looking for is all negative items, erroneous, obsolete, inaccurate, unverifiable type of information that's on the credit report. Those are all our target areas to dispute from the credit report. Foreclosures, bankruptcies, judgments, repossessions, collections, charge-offs, all those are items that would be dragging your score down. And once again, I'm going to look at 11 different pieces of data associated with every one of those items to see whether or not there's something that contradicts itself. Or maybe it's a duplicate item. Maybe it exists because it got transferred from somebody else, and now two companies are reporting it. That's very illegal, and that's something we would expose and invoke the person's rights under the Fair Credit Reporting Act to have disputed and removed.
All right. Can I get foreclosures off?
I've seen it happen quite frequently. Now, I can't guarantee, nor can anyone guarantee, it's going to come off of the credit report. But yes, it can come off. It really depends upon what is reported. Here's one big element that I see oftentimes. It's a glaring error with a foreclosure that can have this item exposed. Now, whenever a bank came in and sold the property, they took possession of the property and they sold it. They sold it for an amount. That amount needs to be posted against what the balance was owed, and then the difference between what was owed and what it was sold for, minus all the attorney's fees, obviously, there should be a net figure in the very bottom there that's what should be reported in the credit report, is what you actually owe. You know, Ron, how many times companies just basically arbitrarily list what the highest balance of it was on that account and claim that that's the amount of the foreclosure? It's quite glaringly obvious, and very frequently this is an occurrence. So those are many. There's just a couple of the areas that we could investigate a foreclosure under.
All right. Well, the reality is that the minute they file for foreclosure, it's going to get reported on my credit report, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's stay on that subject. Let's say I got a credit score of, 720, and then they file a foreclosure on me. On an average, what would that do to my score?
Well, on an average, it's going to lower your score somewhere between 60 and 135 points. Now, that particular one, if you're starting at 720, you're probably going to be the upper end of that average. You're probably going to be around the 120-point decrease.
So my 720 would go down to 600, which still makes me credit worthy to buy just about anything I'd want to buy. But I think the myth is that my credit is totally destroyed and I'm a worthless human being, and I might as well jump off of a bridge because somebody filed foreclosure on me. All right, so let's stay on that subject again. When you get a report like that, because that's the thing people dread the most. In fact, I got to tell you, since I teach class so much, Paul, that there's so many people in my classes that are making payments on properties they cannot afford. They're digging out of their paycheck to keep these properties afloat just to keep the bank from filing foreclosure on them, when really all they're doing, with thousands and thousands of dollars going down a rat hole that they will never, ever collect back, is trying to protect a few points off their credit score. And, I mean, think about it. The properties at today's prices, ladies and gentlemen, you are not going to get that equity back in these properties, and my prediction is for at least a decade. It'll take 10 years for the equity we lost in the last 5 years to be replaced, and some say it'll take longer than that. So before you start making payments on properties and literally putting your family at financial mess, you better ask yourself, is my credit score getting dinged X number of points worth this financial loss and all of this mental stress? So, Paul, let's talk about, I had to file foreclosure because I didn't really have any other choice. I can't afford the negative payments on these things anymore. Now what? Get me back to where I feel like I'm a responsible human being again, will you? What can we do?
Well, the process of foreclosure, it doesn't happen instantaneously typically. It takes a while. So there are usually some lates that are associated with that foreclosure. So know that going in, you're going to have some credit damage, whether it results ultimately in a foreclosure or there's a buyout rate before it anyhow.
Well, you're going to have damage with short sales too, aren't you?
Yeah, you have damage with those too. So
even if you do a mortgage modification, you're going to have a credit ding, aren't you?
That's a great topic, but yeah, I deal with this all the time. Did you know that the company who's doing the mortgage modification for you, they are actually going to tell you that you need to let your payments slip further and further behind in order for them to have success with the mortgage mod?
Yeah, that's pretty good advice, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, these are questions I know I'm going to get, so you're getting them whether you like them or not. What kind of a ding would I expect if we do a mortgage mod, give or take? I know you don't know the answer for sure, but you know enough to know a range.
Well, yes, and the range is actually the correct answer, because the higher you start, the more it's going to affect your score. The lower you start, obviously, the less it's going to affect your score.
You mean the higher your score, the more points you're going to lose. Lower
exactly.
your score, the less. Okay. All right. What about it? Mortgage mod. Give me a number.
Mortgage mod. You're looking at, depending upon the extent, if it's a one-time late or if it's a six-time late. I just dealt with one yesterday with a six-time late. You're going to lose about 100 points there, especially if you're starting out in the 680-plus
okay.
range.
All right. How about a short sale?
Same thing, because it's really all stemming from a mortgage late.
So you're telling me I'm going to lose the same amount of points whether I modify my mortgage, short sale my mortgage, or let the bank take my property back.
It's going to be close, yes.
Okay.
Even with a foreclosure, you'll lose a couple more points with a foreclosure because of the finality of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it will be close. You're looking at a minimum damage of around 80 points, probably upwards of 100, even 110 points. Foreclosure,
right.
135, yeah.
Okay. In your experience, Paul, how long would it take you to get me my 80 points back on the average?
Well, what we will do is we'll come in and we'll investigate those items. And I have seen it within the six-month time frame that the customer or the client is with us that we have these foreclosures actually removed from the credit profile. It's really something to see someone who actually has gone through a foreclosure, because what happens in this foreclosure, typically they'll sell the servicing rights of that foreclosure to another company just before they enter into foreclosure. As they do mm-hmm. that, the original debt then gets paid off. So that one looks like, oh, gee, you had that debt and it was paid off and you never made a late payment on it. Well, that's a wonderful thing for the credit report. So, and now, if you take that one step further and the foreclosure ends up being removed from the credit profile, it looks like you owned a property, you paid it off in full, and you were never late, and that the foreclosure doesn't even exist on your credit report. And that's a key distinction. When we talk about having items deleted from the credit profile, we mean just that. It is removed, not even calculated into your score, not even considered in your score. So the score can actually skyrocket.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you again, and you're going to give me a shorter answer. Okay. I've had a 720 score, and I got it knocked down into the mid-fives. Give or take, how long do you think it'd take me to get me back to the point to where I'd be, at least in the mid-sixes? And I know every case is deal, so I'm going to let you off the hook there. Just give me
okay.
an average.
Yeah. In average, you're looking at back in the mid-sixes, you're looking within 6 months.
Okay. So in the mid-sixes, we'll get any mortgage financed if I otherwise qualify. Agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah, because it only takes 600 to get FHA and USDA loans right now. And the truth is, regardless of what my credit score is, you and I both know that I can go buy pretty much anything I want on credit anyway. I just got to pay more interest for it. But, of course, everybody wants good credit. So, there's a process that you have to go through to clean up credit. Now, I've heard some people say, well, we just dispute everything on our credit report. What's your take on that?
Well, that's a risk. And although even within our service we do that, disputing everything, it needs to be a very targeted dispute. It can't just be a general letter that we download from the Internet and substitute in our account number and our account name and send it off. Boy, the credit bureaus have seen that approach over and over again. They straight through it, and they will tag it as a frivolous dispute. And the problem is that to untag it as a frivolous dispute, or in other words, have that tag removed, now they've successfully shifted the burden of proof that they have to prove that their information is correct to now you having to disprove it.
So, well, what triggers a suspicious response like that?
Well, suspicious is a little bit different. Suspicious means that the letter came from out of state. In other words, I'm employing some company to then go and do credit repair on my behalf, and they're sending a letter out from Kentucky, and I live perhaps in, let's say, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And the credit bureaus are trained to look at the postmark from where that letter has originated. And if it comes from an out-of-state address, they automatically tag it as suspicious.
Well, aren't you out of state?
Well, that's why with our approach, what we do is we provide the letter directly to the client. So now the client is the one that's going to print them and send them along with a copy of their identification. So they are in control. And here's the nice thing, too. They get to see that we're not lying on these dispute letters. We're not saying something that they would not represent.
Mm-hmm. So you don't send anything directly to the credit bureau. You just send it to the, your client, and they do, and tell them what to do. And if they follow instructions, then you know, credit score will slowly increase back to the point to where they don't care anymore. And by the way, on that, in that light, you wouldn't suggest that anybody begin cleaning their credit up when they're in the middle of a mess, would you? For example, no sense of me trying to remove a foreclosure until the foreclosure sale has taken place, is there?
Exactly, Ron, and I'm glad you brought that up, yes.
Okay.
What they need to do is whatever point they're at in their life, they need to be on the uprise. You know, if you're on the descent and you haven't crashed and burned yet and you still have next month, you know that there's going to be another collection account that's going to pop up in your account, probably not the best time to engage in our services.
Yeah. So let the crap hit the fan and then begin the cleaning process.
Yes. Yeah, the major stuff. And then as you start ascending from the other side, you know, typically it has to do with a life-changing event. Perhaps there was a divorce. Perhaps there was an ailment. Maybe a job was lost. But now that has all changed. So the divorce is over with. The ailment's gone. The job is now, you're now gainfully employed. And now we're ready to engage in credit restoration services.
Yeah, so get it to its finality, because if you don't, then this stuff will just pop right back up as soon as you get it off, because there's no conclusion to the case yet. In other words, if you're getting sued, wait till the suit gets through. If you're getting foreclosed, wait till it's over. If you're filing bankruptcy, wait till it's concluded. Correct?
So they're all accurate, yes.
Okay, and by the way, guys, in case you don't know it, you can get an FHA loan nowadays with the bankruptcy being 2 years 2 years old. But, of course, if you're doing that, you're not following my advice. Look, if you want a car, you can buy a car on credit. They're advertising on television every day. I don't care what your credit's like. If you want a home, you shouldn't be using credit to buy it anyway. And if you are, come see me, and I'll teach you how to get all the houses you want without using your credit. So when you think about it, what else is there? You know, if you want a flat screen or a plasma TV, how about we go make a little bit of money and just go pay cash for one? Life does not end just because credit takes a hit. And credit is a blessing. It's a lovely thing to have, but it doesn't make us any less of responsible or less of a human being. And fortunately for us, we got Paul here to help us get it cleaned up. So in that light, what is it? I know your rates are extremely low. In fact, I can't imagine why you do what you do, but tell us what you do and what it costs, will you?
Well, what we do is we help have bad items investigated and removed from the credit profile. But here's one real key distinction about what my company does that you won't find in any other credit restoration company in the United States that I am aware of. We pay our processors by the amount of items that they have removed from your credit profile. What better way to incent someone to do the best job possible for you than to pay them based upon a number of items removed? So what we do is we charge $99 per month, and it's only for 6 months. At the end of 6 months, you're done. There is, the default is that we're not going to charge anymore. You'd have to ask us to continue our service. And the only people who ask us to continue our service are people that had drugged their feet in the middle of the procedure, because at the end of 6 months, we're pretty much done with it. We've played it out. We've done all our targeted investigations, and we've even brought the Federal Trade Commission and the Attorney General into play to help exemplify our points. So what we do is help people improve their credit profile in a very targeted and structured manner.
Okay, that's a six-month process. And
yes,
how much does it cost?
It's $99 per month for 6 months. And be aware that any company that tries to charge you all the money up front is violating the law. They cannot charge for a service you have not yet rendered. So that's why the charge is dispersed over a period of time.
Well, that's good to know. And that law just passed recently, didn't it?
Yes, it has.
Okay. So what do you call your charge then if you're not charging for your services?
Well, we are charging for our services. It is a charge for credit restoration and an educational, and you know, we are doing work on behalf of the client to extract and have items that are negative.
Consulting.
In nature.
You're consulting. Because
yes.
You truly are. You're not sending anything to the credit bureau yourself.
Right. And once you engage with our service, it's not done in one day. It's done over a series of disputes and results over a six-month time frame. And that's why the charge needs to be dispersed accordingly.
And any time during this 6 months, if I don't like you, I can whack you, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can leave any time during the 6 months. If they happen to leave in the first 5 days, they're entitled to a full refund. After 5 days, then at whatever point in time they would leave, they owe no more money.
So you're not like my cell phone bill. Once I order it, I'm hooked for 2 years. Is that what we're saying?
No,
I tried to cancel a cell phone number for my daughter and found out I had to pay $195 to cancel it. Crap, when did this happen? Anyway, all right. Well, people can pull their own credit reports. I mean, there's all of these websites that they advertise. So what's the best way to obtain your own credit report?
Well, there truly is only one free credit report on the World Wide Web, and it is not freecreditreport.com, folks.
It's not.
www.annualcreditreport.com.
I better write that one down. Say that again, annualcreditreport.com. That's truly a free one?
That is truly a free report, and it is the only one that will give you a free report. They won't ask you for a credit card number all along the way. Unless you want to either buy your score or you want to buy identity theft or something, they will try to sell you that as they lead you through the site. But the way it works is they take you from annualcreditreport.com out to TransUnion and back to Annual Credit Report and then out to Experian and back. So it's a portal that will bounce you around, but during the process, you do get a copy of your report.
Hmm. Well, that's cool. That was worth the whole call right there. That's a writer downer. Because I know people telling me all the time they try to go pull their credit. We used to have our tenant buyers try to go pull their own, and then they come back. Well, we gotta pay. Well, you know, it's cheaper if you pay than we charge you. But yeah, you do have to pay. FreeCreditReport.com is not so free, is it?
That's exactly right. And one more word of advice: as they bounce through the annualcreditreport.com site, and as they obtain the copy of the reports, here's what you want to do: hit Control A whenever you're on your report, which is a select all. You're going to copy it onto the clipboard. And then you're going to go over to an email and you're going to hit Control C or paste, and you will dump that into an email. Email it to yourself. That way you have it for future reference. And I would also advise, if you'd like me to take a look at it, to CC me on the email, and then we could have it come to us and we'll do a free analysis.
Also, there's the balance of credit limit and amount owed ratio. You better comment on that, because that's pretty important.
A balance of credit limit ratio? Well, yes. Only with revolving. This does not pertain to installment nor mortgages. Mm-hmm. With revolving, there are buckets or tiers, and it starts at over 100% balance limit ratio, basically, which means that you have exceeded the amount or limit of your card. And if you're within that tier, in other words, you've got a $1,000 card and your balance is $1,100, is actually working significantly against your score. Now, down from there, we drop into buckets or tiers of 100 to 70, 70 to 50, 50 to 30, 30 to 10, and under 10%. And each time you drop down progressively between those tiers, your score is going to improve. It's important to note that when you get down below 10%, that's where you want to be and you want to stay. However, you do not want it to be zero, or do you not want it to maintain at zero, because it shows no utilization of the account. So you want to keep it between 10 and 0%. And if you go down to zero, then charge something nominal and then basically make small payments on it.
So, Paul, if I've got let's say I got a credit card with a $10,000 limit on it, but I never use it. Would my credit score increase then if I just canceled that credit card?
No, it won't increase unless there's always, I'm sorry, but there's always a caveat, unless you have too many credit cards. If you have more than three, then yes, you're probably prudent to go ahead and cancel. But assuming you have three or less, you don't want to cancel. What you really want to do then, Ron, is use that card. Keep it under 10% balance limit ratio and make small payments on it.
So as long as I've got a small balance, wouldn't you say probably under 30%?
Under 30% is one of the tiers, but under 10% is the best tier.
Okay, so as long as I got a small balance and I make that payment, that actually increases my credit score, doesn't it?
Yes, because it shows financial responsibility and usage of the card. You're developing history.
And contrary to a lot of people's beliefs, paying it off does me more harm than good, as you just said. And that really doesn't have anything to do with come back to our delinquent debts, because we said zero balance, paying something off was bad prior, but that's only if it was delinquent and not been reported for a while. We're just reactivating it. In this case, we're saying paying it off is bad because you are not showing any usage and credit report companies and credit card companies like to see people actually using the card and pay a little bit of interest. I wouldn't be surprised if they aren't in cahoots somehow, because, well, you get it. All right, well, sir, I need how do people get a hold of you to activate your services, for sure? And then we want to talk about how this relates to us real estate people who are putting tenant buyers in our house. So first, how do we get a hold of you?
www.homeinvestorcredit.com has a form there in which you can just basically put your information, when the best time to contact, and you can, there's even a browse button. You can upload a copy of your credit report whenever you have it. Just go there. That'll come directly to my desk through a secured server.
Okay. Now, let's say I got a you better repeat that. Well, hold on a minute. Let's say I got a I'm putting a tenant buyer in my house. I'm lease optioning it to them, and I want to get their credit cleaned up because they say they want their credit cleaned up. Now, in my case, I try to get them to pay for it, but sometimes I even volunteer to pay the $99 a month as long as they're complying with the rules and doing what you tell them to do. If I send you a customer and you sign them up, is there some kind of communication between you and me that they're actually doing what they're supposed to do or not doing it?
Yes, there is communication. And there is a provision up on that form to you can actually upload the information of somebody else that you're referring to me. I would ask that you call the person first and make certain it's okay for me to call them. But as far as the other the piece of it that how do you track it, we will supply you a link, if you will, to a website that it has the status results of the client, and
uh-huh.
Then you can go and log on anytime you want. It's real time.
Cool. Okay.
It'll even give you how many items have been removed from the credit profile, how many remain on the credit profile, so you can follow up and make certain that this is occurring.
All right. Well, that's very good. All right. So in other words, I can just keep an eye on mine, go into the back office, and see whether they're complying or not, and don't have to call you or call them. And then, of course, if they're not complying, then we can get on the phone with them and say, why are you not doing this? Do you want your credit cleaned up or not? Do you want to buy this house or not? And from now on, since you won't comply, I'm going to stop paying. You want to start you want to take over yourself, fine. But at least you know what you're dealing with. And if they are paying, you can still do the same thing. You'll know whether you got a serious client or not, regardless of who's paying the bill. Is that right?
That's correct, Ron.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. One more time then, Paul. How do we reach you, and do you have a phone number besides a website?
Yes, certainly. They may reach me directly at area code 412-242-2733. The website, again, is www.homeinvestorcredit.com.
All right. Do you have any brilliant piece of advice that you want to leave our folks with before we get off of this call?
Well, credit is extremely important in today's society as an investor, or if you want to cash out on a deal, we're here to help. We keep you informed. We'd love to work with you. And I want to thank you, Ron, for having me as a guest and talking with me about this. And we appreciate it, and we look forward to working with your clients.
Okay. Well, thank you. Good having you.
Thank you, Ron. Bye.